This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Like, when do Bills fans get to crow at an opposing fan base? Good call here, Nick. Let it build.
Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
David Taglian on the Sports Bar. As Bills fans, this song has new meaning today. Joining us, 13 Wham's Mike Catalana here in the Sports Bar. Mike, appreciate the time. Mike, by the way, where are you right now? Are you on your way back here?
We're back. I'm back in. I'm back at 13. Anchoring tonight. This will be a long day. I got up in Pittsburgh this morning to come back after the game last night. It was late night, so. Happy to talk to you guys back here at home.
Oh, Mike, what was that like when they played the stick song last night? Because certainly, like, the Bills seemed like they were prepared for that moment.
Well, yeah, because Mac Daddy had them play it at practice. You know Mac Daddy.
I'll take your word for it.
No, you know that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and what else did they play? They played the Black and Gold song, apparently?
Yeah, but, I mean, the place went crazy. I mean, they went crazy when they played that song. So the Bills had practiced this week with that song playing so that they would get the vibe of what they were going to hear. I mean, that's pretty good detail. I mean, we were joking about it, saying it's not quite the same thing when you play the song and then you're in the stadium. By the way, that's the other thing I wanted to say. Bills fans have been great all year traveling, and I ran into a lot of Bills fans in Pittsburgh. But this was not a Bills taking over Pittsburgh scenario here. I mean, those Steelers fans are great fans. I would say it was 92% Steelers fans, a nice vocal group of Bills fans. Steelers fans don't give up the tickets. I mean, they're not like Nashville, which is, you know, transient city, or even, you know, Dallas, where there's 100,000 people and 50,000 of them are just trying to get their face on the Jumbotron. These are real football fans, and they were loud. Toughest environment by far that the Bills, way tougher than it'll be Saturday, because, I mean, obviously, we know that fan base is a little spoiled in Foxborough. So this was the toughest they've faced. And I think Baltimore would be that kind of way, too, if they ended up there in the playoffs or Kansas City. That was really tough to play in front of.
Mike, we saw the video 2 years ago, and we remember, of course, the celebration in that locker room, seeing Dalton making that touchdown pass. What was the mood like last night after the team had realized, I would imagine, something different? Can you describe it for us?
Well, let's go back 2 years ago. I'm in Miami. The Bills, if you remember, did not exactly handle the end of that game very well and ended up having to, you know, field an onside kick against that bad Dolphins team. But they got it done and went in. Everybody was like, okay, you know, now we got it here. And we knew that the Bengals were down. And we were all standing outside the locker room listening to the game, and they had gotten close. And then we're listening on somewhat of a delay, and then we can hear in the locker room they're going nuts. And then somebody yells, Bengals touchdown, whatever it is. And then for the end of the game, we go in the locker room. It's mayhem. I mean, there's a 10-minute waiting period, but that was pretty much done because they were sitting in there watching the end of the game. Crazy. Last night was, you know, professional. They were happy, very happy. But it honestly did not feel much different than a really good regular season win. This team expected to win, and they expected to be in the playoffs. It's a sign of confidence, and it's a sign of maturity, and it makes sense. I mean, that team, I mean, let's be honest, that team 2 years ago was not very good, and somehow they made the playoffs. This team's pretty good. I don't think they're great, but I think they're pretty good, and they're confident, and they expected to win, and they won, and they sealed it with two games left, which is pretty impressive in this day and age in the NFL.
Yeah, the Steeler defense, certainly I'll put them up there, what, top five, top ten, but that quarterback they played last, Tomlin has to go back to Rudolph, does he not, after that performance last night?
Duck Hodges is going to, I don't know how much longer he'll start. I mean, it was sort of like Nate Peterman playing in a sense, only because he should be on a practice squad for a few years. Circumstances, Nate Peterman, it was more the Bills' own ineptitude, but circumstances puts him in the game with the Steelers. It was injuries and then Rudolph not playing well. But, man, they made him the focal point of their offense. I think it played right into what the Bills wanted. And James Conner had a few nice runs. He's a physical player. And, boy, they got Duck just throwing him up. And I tweeted earlier, I go, boy, he puts the ball in harm's way. Watch out. Now, I didn't know if they'd get four. And they got four. And they could have had about six. But, I did that game plan for everybody complains. That game plan for Pittsburgh was not good offensively. It surprised me a bit, and I think it played into the Bills' hands. And I said going into it, I thought the Bills would win. I thought they had the better quarterback. I didn't think he had to be great, but he was good, and he certainly was good in big moments, and they won the game.
Did you think McDermott and the coaches purposely kind of went conservative on offense, knowing that we'll take our chances going in this way? Because a lot of people had a problem with, hey, you have a first and goal, and you go run, run, run. Was that by design that, all right, let's not turn the ball over, maybe we get a 13-10, ended up being 17-10 win out of this?
Yeah, no, they were down. They kicked the field goal. I do not think they were conservative there because they were going for the field goal. I think they were mad at Singletary for coughing up the ball a couple of times. I think they were setting up a pass from Gore. I guess if he'll give it away, I don't think he will, but Gore was going to throw that ball. I think they somewhat were setting that up. I don't like the play. I don't like him throwing it, but the only thing better than him throwing it would be him just taking the loss and kicking the field goal. That was a bad series, but they came right back the next series. They went from that to bombs away, threw it deep, got a completion, threw another one deep, and ended up throwing to Tyler Croft for the touchdown. So they needed a score, and they were much more aggressive in the next series. I don't know what they were doing on the one before, but let me tell you something. Frank Gore doesn't put the ball on the ground, and as good as Singletary is, he better hold on to the ball more because, first of all, the Steelers are great at it. The Patriots are great at it. They'll be going for the ball every time he carries it on Saturday.
13 Whams, Mike Catalana joining us. He was in Pittsburgh last night. I think the nation might have gotten an introduction to Trey White. We know what kind of a player he is. We know he's got personality, certainly. But, Mike, how much money did Trey White make for a future negotiation with that win last night?
Yeah, I mean, he comes through in big moments. If you look in the whole season, I mean, he has come through in big moments for them. That end of the Bengals game, the deflection, and he makes the pick. The Miami game when Fitz threw it near the goal line and he makes the pick. Last night, they're down and they're driving and Duck throws up a duck, but there's Trey. The only thing he didn't do is get it in the end zone. What is he? A league leader in interceptions now. He's right there with Gilmore. Gilmore's the number one corner because I think he's done it longer at that level. But Trey White is right there with him. I think they're going to be the all-pro corner. I mean, the Bills are going to end up probably, who knows what, 11 wins, 12 wins, whatever they end up with. And, and the defense is right there near the top of the NFL. He's the signature player on one of the best defenses in the league. Bills were going to be paying him anyhow, and he's going to be right up there when they decide to get a long-term deal done. He's going to be up there with among the highest, if not the highest paid by the time he signs, of any of the corners in the league.
So now you have a game in December in New England. It actually means something. Now the Patriots, they haven't wrapped up anything. Mike, what kind of chance do you give Buffalo this Saturday?
I give them a great chance to win the game. I said if the Bills beat Pittsburgh, I think the Bills have an excellent chance to beat New England. Part of it is because, yes, they're still alive for the division, but the chances are not great. Even if the Bills win, you're going to need Miami to knock them off. I guess something could happen. Say the Bills were to win, and I don't know, Gilmore goes out, and and Edelman's not playing or something. They go play home with Miami. I guess something could happen. They're not losing that game to Miami. The Bills aren't going to win the division, but I think it's the rare time. Think about this: the Bills have clinched the playoff spot. They pretty much know they're the five. That's what it's going to be, and they get to go there. honestly, against a Patriots team that is still very good defensively, a little notch below what they were before when they were just totally dominating teams. But their offense, I dared say right now, even though the Bills are not great on offense, I think the Bills' offense is better than New England's at the moment. I mean, Brady is not particularly effective, and what he's lost is that Brady magic. No matter what was going on, man, they would get in the red zone. It was a touchdown. You see him now, sure, it came a little in the second half. They got a few of those picks, and they made a few plays, but it's not the same offense that it was. And I think they're going to, I think both teams are going to struggle to score on Saturday. And I know it's a shorter week for the Bills traveling and coming off a Sunday night game. But if it's possible to play with something at stake and to be loose, I think that's what you're going to see out of the Bills on Saturday.
13 Wham's Mike Catalana joining us in the sports bar as he was in Pittsburgh for the win last night. Mike, I'm sure you got to see the video that surfaced on Fox yesterday from Glazer.
Yes.
What did you make of that footage of the Patriots shooting the Bengals sideline?
Yeah, I'll say the Patriots don't get the benefit of the doubt from anybody, nor should they. They have done so many things that are either against the rules or against the spirit of a rule. I just have this weird feeling that this time was not one of those cases. I've been in hundreds and hundreds of press boxes or, you know, hundreds of times in a press box. If you saw somebody shooting video from the press box, it would be very odd thing to see. If you were going to cheat and do that, I just don't think you're doing it from there. It's you got a room full of reporters all looking as you're shooting. It would be strange. You don't see cameras there. So I know maybe that's just, you know, look, it'd be easy to just say they're cheating. They always cheat. And maybe they were. But I have a feeling they're not. Now, that being said, it does violate the rules. They're going to get punished. They should get punished. They should get punished more than other teams because they've done it multiple times. But I don't know if they really were doing that. I think they might have gotten caught being stupid and ignorant of rules that they should have known about. But it's a terrible look. Belichick should be mad. But come on, he's brought a lot of this on himself by some of the things he has done. So whether they did it or not, they should get punished like they did it on purpose.
Mike, if follow my logic here, because we can look ahead to that wild card round, assuming that there isn't the Dolphin miracle in week 17, the Bills are the five. Well, if you're a TV executive, you're going to take the Dallas-Philly winner against really the second-best team in the NFC. That might be your Saturday night game. Sunday, the late window will probably be either the Patriots or the Chiefs taking on the number six. That puts Buffalo, Houston, in my opinion, that would be the Houston Texans, the official team of the Saturday early wildcard game. What kind of chance, and again, we have a few weeks here with info to change, but right now, what kind of chance would you give Buffalo giving to Houston in the wildcard round?
I don't think either Houston or Kansas City really wants to play the Bills. A defense, a team that travels and plays well on the road, well-coached, you know, Houston is dynamic. Kansas City is dynamic. But we've seen them be flawed in the playoffs. I don't even care about the Bills playoff game 2 years ago. It was an awful game. It was boring. That team was happy to be there. I mean, come on, it was Tyrod and Nate. They really did not have a very good roster, and they lost, and the game was boring. It was one of the most boring games of the year. This is a different team. You know, they weren't spectacular on Sunday Night Football. But people, I think, like watching them. That being said, Houston and the Bills sounds very much like that Saturday 4 o'clock game. It just does. If it's Kansas City, that might change. If it's Kansas City and it's Mahomes, maybe CBS wants it for a night game. We have to figure that out, too, because ABC gets one of the games, and we'd love to have the game on 13. But they get one of the games, and then it's NBC, Fox, and CBS for the other games. So, you know, the NBC is a wild card one. When I say wild card, you know what I mean? It's like that could be either conference, and the ABC one could be either conference. CBS will get the AFC, and Fox will get the NFC. So they'll map it out the way they want. But, yeah, I could see it being the Saturday game. And on the plus side for the Bills, if there's a plus side to them losing on Saturday, they know they're locked in at the five. The Jets game will mean nothing. They can rest a bunch of guys, and even if it's a short week, it won't matter. they'll be ready to go out there for Saturday to play, whether it's Kansas City or Houston.
Yeah, the Matt Barkley show, Week 17. But we don't want that, yeah. Mike. You want to win in New England, something that hasn't happened against a Tom Brady team in a game that actually meant something.
Yeah.
I asked this question earlier, Mike. If the Bills end up with a 12-4 regular season record, but they go on the wild card round and lose on the road, is it still a satisfying season?
Your word satisfying, my answer to that would be no, because this team believes they can, if not should, win a playoff game. If you win 12 games and you end up as a wild card on the road, you are in rare air. That does not happen very often. You win 12 games, you win the division. I mean, you look at the history of wild cards. There are not a lot of 12 or 13 win teams going to the wild card. This is not a team sneaking in at 9-7 because of Andy Dalton. This is a team that would have earned 12 wins on the year, provided they win. Even 11 is really good. So is it a successful season? Look, you win 12 games, let's just say 11 games, whatever it is, and you win, what would it be? Say, you know, you end up going 7-1 on the road or 6-2 on the road. You win some good games. It is a successful year. But satisfied? No. They should think they can win a playoff game. But I would say if you win 12 games, I'd have to look it up. How many times a team's won 12 games and has not won their division? It's pretty rare. So, yeah, it would be tough. If they go to Houston and lose a, you know, 27-24 game, Deshaun Watson just makes a play at the end, it would be very frustrating. But you could be proud of what they built and all. But there's another part of me that says, man, so many things have gone well. Look, even with Trey going down last night, and you're thinking, oh, no. Trey White's out. This team's in trouble, like any team. He pops back up and he plays and he's fine. They've been healthy. Things have gone well. They've made plays late. You don't get this too often. And I know they're building and it could be better next year and better the year after that, but you never know what it's going to be like. So you got a chance and they're good enough. I'm telling you, they're good enough to beat either Houston or Kansas City in a playoff game. As good as those quarterbacks are, this defense is legitimately good, and they will be in any game they play in the playoffs.
And you know what's interesting about that, too, you could have an 11-win, a 12-win Buffalo team playing a Houston team with fewer wins.
Right.
This conversation is going to come up more for the other conference because you're going to have a 500 NFC East winner hosting perhaps the second-best team. What's your sense here? Are we going to move to a day where we're going to reseed based on the best records once we get to the postseason?
No, I don't think so. I think the league likes the division format. The division is much more important than it is in hockey or basketball, where people don't pay as much attention to the divisions. Football is real, and I was thinking about this. If it ends up being Seattle going on the road, well, it's payback from a few years ago when New Orleans had to go to Seattle. If the team comes to Philly to play, it would be payback for the Eagles to get a home game when they had to go on the road to play the Cardinals in the NFC Championship game when they had a better record than an Arizona team that won the West. So, yes, the record disparity may be pretty great. I guess if San Francisco were to lose again and Dallas or Philly would win the last two, you could be looking at saying 9-7 against what? It'd be 11-5, something like that. Okay. I mean, if it's 8-8 and 13-3, it looks more jarring. But either Dallas or Philly is going to be 500 or above. I would think somebody's probably going to be 9-7. So, it'll look bad, but I don't think the league's got a bunch of other things to worry about. I think they're going to just look at this and say, I mean, the Bills are going to be in that spot too, but they're going to look at this and say, this is the way it goes, and I don't think it'll change.
Well, Mike, I know there's a lot of people that certainly want to get more info. They can't get enough of this Bills team clinching a playoff spot. What do you got working tonight on 13WIM?
Well, we got a ton of content. If people haven't gone to it now, it's called BuffaloPlus.com. It is everything from the Bills. Were in the locker room. There's some pretty good stuff last night. Certainly the players. You know, sometimes people say to us, oh, the players say the same. No, the players were great last night. They talk about the culture of this team. They talk about what it was like. Shaq Lawson talking about what it was like when he first came to the Bills. And keep in mind, who drafted him?
Mm-hmm.
Rex and Whaley. And then Brandon Bean talking about the culture that they've built there and what they've done and what this team is like. I did my 10 red-hot takeaways from the game, including some of the things that did not go well last night. It's not all positives, even though it was a big night for the Bills. And plenty of other interviews and content about the Bills going forward. So, yeah, I think Bills fans will like it. We have a lot of fun putting it together. We're constantly adding content to it. So, again, it's called BuffaloPlus.com.
Mike, before I let you go, I don't know if you noticed, but the Mets are getting a new owner. This should be an exciting time in the NL East, and you should be a little worried as a Philly fan.
Yeah, I mean, I look, it's nice for the new owner. Maybe to finish fourth would be good to get him started. I would assume that's what's going to happen. But, you know, I think they'll be fine, right? I mean, what could go wrong? I mean, Zach Wheeler's going to win, what, 22 games for the Phillies?
You think he overspent there a little bit, so... It's okay. Mike, I appreciate your time today. I know you have, it's been a long, long 48 hours for you. Appreciate your time.
And I will say, it is fun. It is fun seeing Bills fans on the road, and they deserve to be happy. But let's see what happens Saturday. I'm telling you, this team has been surprising people all year long. They may do it again on Saturday.
That would be certainly the holiday treat. Mike, thanks so much. Be well. If we don't talk, happy holidays.
You too, Gene.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.